All right, how important is the church? The church. How important is this church? That's what I want to talk about tonight. And I have done this before, I did it for you, but you forgot. Modlish told me you forgot. How important is this church? Let me ask you something. How many of you really and truly now, and I'm going to put my hand up on this, but this is confession night. How many of you really and truly, this church has been, what, 7 years old? Is that right?
Eight
years old? Okay. I have had my life touched here greatly. Matter of fact, I kind of had it redirected. I wanted to be up here maybe even more than you know. And maybe so God said, well, you're going back down the hill. Because that's the way it wound up. But I got touched here. My life got touched. My heart got touched. My life got turned. And I kind of rededicated. How many of you truly, why would you be ashamed to admit that God touched you in this church?
Amen.
He touched you, didn't he? There you are. That's important. Let me ask you this. How many of you have felt the call to do something since you've been in this church? That you ought to do something for... Look, there's a man in the ministry right there. Others in the ministry. Hey, if you have any part in this church, you're in the ministry. You're in the ministry. See? How important is this church? Now, here's one. How many of you here tonight truly, by the ministry of this church, got saved here? Good night. 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9 of you. 9. My goodness. How important is this church? It's very important. It's personal. It's incredible. What I want to do tonight is challenge you that you don't get sacked out. How many of you ever heard of that phrase before? Sacked out. There's one. There's another one, and another one, and another one. Okay, you know what it is. Oh, you've been around horses. Well, for the rest of you, let me tell you, if I broke a horse, first thing I'm going to do is get him in a round pen, and I'm going to run him round and round and round until he wants to get with me, until he's ready to quit running and will turn and face me. Are we going to go round and round some more? And once we get that done, you know what? I'm going to take a rope and send him the other way, round and round and round, until he'll come to me. You know what I just taught him? To lead. So, but then I can get a halter on him, can't I, ma'am? I mean, he's willing, you know? Okay, now I'm going somewhere with it. So I've got a halter on him, and before you put the halter on him, you just walk away from him, and when he's breathing so hard he can't see good, you know what he'll do? He'll follow you. Because this is a rest spot. Close to you is a rest spot. You see what I'm saying? So now, the next thing for me to do before I start dragging a saddle out in front of him, and a blanket to try to get on this monster, I'm going to have to sack him out. Now, I do it real early. I don't wait till I got 10 rides. I don't do it at all anymore. I'm 70. I got smart. I got one bad leg, and I don't do it. But let me tell you what to do. I will tie him up, snub him up pretty good in that round pen when he's fresh. And I'm going to go get a feed sack. The scariest thing in the world when you're horseback trotting across the pasture somewhere is a sack that's got loose in the wind and it makes just the right sound. I don't know what that sound is, but it scares that horse to death. Now, the first thing he knows is get rid of you. And then he can flight. So you're going to leave, and he's going to go the other way. So what you need to do is desynthesize him first. All right? So what do? I come in the round pen, and he knows me, right? But I got a sack in my hand, and he's giving me this. And around like, you know what I'll do? I'll crunch it. I want him to have a storm. I want him to throw a fit. And I'm going to stand there a while, and I'm going to try to get closer to him, and he's going to try to get away, but he's snubbed up. He don't like this. He's scared to death of that sack. It's very special to him. I promise you, a long story gets longer, but this has a point. Before I'm through, I'm going to be standing in front of him with that sack, and he'll settle down, and he'll want to smell it. I'm going to let him. But I'm not going to just walk out because until I just get one touch. I don't care if it's his nose or ear, I want one touch. And then I'll back up, give him relief of pressure, and I walk out. You know what happens to him tomorrow? I'm going to snub him up, and I'm coming right in there again with that same sack. But today, I'm going to touch him with it. He's got to have this. He's got to be sacked out. And in a week's time, horse people, I can throw that sack anywhere I want. I put it, I slap him with it. I beat him with it. I do all of that, and he goes like this. What did I do? I desynthesized him. He's no longer afraid of that sack. That sack holds nothing validly important to him anymore. He is desynthesized and he's sacked out. Now, you think, well, that's horse. It is, but it's also human. Let me say this. You have the most uncommon church I have ever stepped a foot in my life. And you come every Sunday, some of you every Thursday, some of you at every event, and I thank God for that. But what happens to you is what is absolutely uncommon will become common. And in a while, believe it or not, you will be extraordinarily familiar with the best church in the United States. But it's commonplace to you, and you are sacked out. So it's not uncommon anymore, but common. And you become extremely familiar, right, with this church. Familiarity breeds. It does. That's human nature. Contempt doesn't always show itself in an aggressive voice and in a frontal attack. It shows itself first in little bitty things. Like, I don't know when they're going to change that carpet, man. That's got to be the ugliest stuff I ever saw. And you will give Brother Modlish or me the Baptist salute. Do you know what the Baptist salute is? First, you look at the clock, then you go, look at your watch and look at the preacher. Like that. You know what that is? Contempt. And the uncommon has become common. The absolute wonderful and great has become common. And it's human nature. You have to work at it. Listen, folks. Dig in. Put your heels in. I mean, do not move. Become unmovable. This is your church. And you aim to protect it, pray for it, and work in it. Preaching will be over with in a minute. We're going to do some Bible study. But never let this place become. You should, you know what you ought to do? Just get my truck and go with me to these churches I go to. Woo! That'll take the common off of this church. You'll be so glad to get back. All right, I say this. I say, look, don't get sacked out. I'll tell you what, it's important. This church is extremely important. Lives are being touched, changed, hearts broken, souls are being won. Here, here. Now, I've been in enough churches to say this. A lot of churches in your community where that doesn't happen. A lot of churches in my community, that doesn't happen. This is a very uncommon place. Okay, now, the first of all, I want to say it's a very important church, and I'll tell you what, it's important to God, too. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians 5, and we'll get into some of this. But I've been listening to Modlish, and I noticed something. He'll strike out on a teaching theme and wind up preaching. I just listened to Samson today. I got a little on Samson. Boy, I got a good sermon too. Amen. So I have done a little preaching. Okay, Ephesians 5. I want to show you something. Ephesians 5, verse 25. If you know your Bible, you know that Ephesians 5, from 21 to the end of the thing, is where all preachers go to talk to you about your relationship to husband and wives. But look at this thing right here in verse 25. Husbands is likened unto Christ. Husbands, love your wife, even as, see that word, you ought to circle it, as Christ also, what does it say? Loved the church and gave himself for it. loved the church and gave himself for it. Now that's the height we need to put the church in our estimation and in our heart, the same place is. Husbands, your wife is right there with the church as Christ sees it as well. Do you see that thing? And he goes all the way through here talking about the church. Look at 23. For husbands is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the what?
Church,
all the way through there. Now watch this thing back. Go with me then to verse 32. He finishes his complete dissertation on the relationship of husbands and wives. And he winds up with this. This is a great mystery. And it is, isn't it? Y'all missed that. This is a great mystery. Hey, you know what? I wish Stroh was here. I could tell him now, Dave, the reason that's funny is because... Yeah. Okay, this is a great mystery. Colon. Uh-oh. But I speak concerning Christ and the what? You know what I just said? And I was talking about husband and wife. I was talking about the church and Christ. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. When you find a church that he loves that much, pay the price to stay in it. And don't let anything sack you out. Don't get sacked out. All right, number one. I say this church is extremely important and different and uncommon because it's where we have access to God. That's the God. That's Christ's church. That's what the Lord ordained the church for, is to give you access to him, give you access to God. Now, the whole Bible, cover to cover, is from one end to the other, is illustrations and allegories that have great parallels in your life. And if you don't know that, you start trying to read the Bible, they're just black words on white pages, you don't get it. But the whole thing is about you and how you can protect your life, redirect your life, enrich your life, and on it goes. It's about how to live your life. So when you get to a place like, I've mentioned it Sunday, the children in the wilderness journey. The wilderness journey was there. They were going to have to go through the wilderness anyway. But they wasn't going to go in it 40 years. But their lack of faith at Kadesh Barnea to go in and take the promised land. I said promised land. That is a type of heaven. See what? And the Lord is beginning to lay down here some insight for you into living. Insight for living. Isn't that a program? Yeah. All right. It comes out of the book. And now, he says, because of lack of faith, you'll have to go wander in the wilderness for 40 years. I felt like I've been going in circles. And have you ever been on a wilderness journey in your life? Hey, I know yours, dude. God just brought you out of the wilderness, and you too. I know some of your wilderness journeys. I know yours. I know mine. I know some of yours. You work on a ranch. I know a lot of yours. And they went round and round and round. Have you ever looked up the wilderness? It's a little bitty spot. So they just went in circles. You know, and every time they'd lose their faith, God'd say, okay, another trip around Sinai. Just keep going. All right? Now, what that is showing you that he's given you types of that because when the wilderness journey's over,
we got the promised land.
You do, but you got to go across Jordan to get there.
That's okay.
I'm looking now across the river. You know that verse, that song, Beulah Land, to where my faith I shall end in sight, just a few more days in which to labor, and I shall take the heavenly flight. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. That's the promised land. But you got to get across Jordan. So God comes and leads his people across Jordan. That's death. You don't go through it. See how wonderful that is? Okay, so you can take the temple in the wilderness, and draw some parallels, I think, with this very church. Access to God. Think about this, will you? Where did all the other people, where'd they find God? That wasn't his people. That wasn't the Hebrew people. They didn't have that access. What I'm trying to do is show you access to God is very, very special. And I want to tell you something. I've been in churches where there was no access to God. I've been in churches and preached my heart out. There was nothing I could do. It was dead from the amen to the amen. It was nothing in it. Why? Because God was not there. And you people, there's nobody going to look at you through crocodile sunshades. You're not going to have liberty like you do here. You step in that door, my heart turns upside down. I feel something because it's the Holy Spirit of God. He's here. You have access to God. If you're ever going to get your life changed, if you're ever going to have any real direction and cause and purpose and love and hedging of life, it's going to be because you got access to God Almighty. Access to God. I had an outline somewhere. All right, now, you can find God today. Look here, you have all these people park out here. Y'all are parking out here tonight. Okay. People drive by. They see you. And you see all these cars just parked every way in the world. Some of them hung up on trees and those light posts out there. Jump and run in. You know what you're saying? You're screaming to Him. You can find God in there. That's a testimony. You know what it's saying? He could have access to God in there. God must be in that place. There's one thing you lack. May I mention it to you, Rick, because you lead music. Make them sing louder. I want them to hear you down. I mean, get with it if it means something to you. You just got saved here. I mean, it ought to mean something. Those songs ought to mean something to you. They're precious. Let the words minister to you. You'll sing loud. If you can't sing good, sing loud. If you can sing good, sing louder. But sing loud and sing fast. I'll tell you a real secret. My daughter, she's a pianist and a good one, but she taught me a secret. She said, Daddy, you can drag a song to death real quick, but you can't run one to death at all. So if it's too fast, let her rip, tater chip. But if it's too slow, it's going to die. Just even being loud won't save it. Okay, I'm back on the outline. I'm off of that. But that's a testimony to your now, to your town that says you can find God and you have access to Him in here. You know what? They hadn't found that in their lives. You know what they desperately need? They need to get a hold of God. And you got Him right here every Sunday. Every time the door opens, He's here first. You want a strange feeling? Get you a key from Him and come down here about 3 o'clock Saturday morning. By yourself and walk in here, dude. Whew. You feel it. He's already here. Access to God. May I say this to you? Those other folks out there in the wilderness couldn't find God because there was no temple. It's the only place God was. He had to go to the temple to have the access. They didn't have one. May I say this to you? You can't find God in Afghanistan. My son-in-law preaches in Pakistan. Tough boy. Tough place. Hard to find God there. There's sure no screaming song church with 100 cars around it screaming out, I love Jesus, I'll promise you that. There's no place advertising where you can find God. There's no access to God to speak of at all in Afghanistan, Pakistan, it's Gurdjistan, and all of the stands. May I say this to you? Those that have a church and get sacked out and leave it without knowing how precious it is, I feel sorry, because the rest of your life you'll be trying to find this one again. They're not out there. Well, we're not going to get through with this, are we? Number two. One last thing I want to say about access. Access to God is in churches all over America. And at the judgment, America will pay for the access it had and the little it did with it. This place is special. All right, number two, God has access to us. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and Acts chapter 13. In verse 1. Now there were in the church that were at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and Barabbas and Simon and Barnabas, rather, and Simon, which are called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene and Manon, and which was thought up, brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Now listen, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord, operation of the church, and fasted, something we never do, the Holy Ghost said, separate me. The Holy Ghost was there. Obviously, he was there. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. God wants access to you. God will call you where there's access. Now, I know some people in life have been called outside of the church. I know that. But let me say this to you. I didn't get that. And your pastor didn't get that. Linda didn't get that. They got it in the church. God wants to get his hands on you. He does. He wants access to you. When you come to church, you have access to him. He has access to you. It goes both ways. You have been called here in the church. Called here. You're in the ministry. Called here. See? You're in the ministry. Called to stay and pay the price. See what I'm saying? He wants access to you. God wants to nurture you. He wants to love you. He wants to help you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to hedge you. He wants to protect you. He wants to grow you, mature you. Church. Church. You got a good one to do that in. All right, I want to say one thing else about access to you. He wants access to your children. The Bible says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me. He that will not come unto me as a little child shall in no wise inherit the kingdom of God." If you ever come to Jesus Christ and you got saved in this church, you came down that aisle crying like a baby. I'm telling you, you came like a child to get saved, or you didn't get saved. Because that's what he accepts. A child knows he's a sinner much earlier than a mature, than an adult does. Come, suffer the little children. He wants to have access to those kids. Why? He wants to, just like you, love them, nurture them, protect them, guide them, hedge them, keep them, bring them to himself, call them to himself. Listen, your kids today, it's unbelievable today how much your kids are exposed to that I wasn't. I mean, in television shows, in movies, in video games. Why does of all video games have to come right out of the pit? Amen. I mean, good night, man. You got to beat those kids off those. You know what happens? It sucks their brains right out. And they're gone. They're gone. Those video games are not good. I mean, every one of them have these three things. Something come out of the pit, it's unnatural. And it's mixed with mechanical. It's like a robot, and it's human. Those three things. I'll tell you what you do. When you get home tonight, you get over to Revelation chapter 9 and watch what comes out of the pit. Duh. They're just being pre-programmed as they watch it. You can't beat them off of it. You got to watch that stuff. Hey, man, he wants to help your kids, wants to love you. You think you might need a little help raising them kids? Why don't you let God have access to them? You know what? He just might help you. Amen? Boy, y'all getting quiet. This ain't preaching. Too old for kids, that's right. But there's other kids. Yeah, amen. Amen. On the street the other day, I had to do a double take. This young girl was walking down the street with her books. I guess she was 16, 17. You know what the teenage dress code in this town is? If you've got it, show it. And if you don't have it, show it anyway. Now, that's the truth, and you got to protect your kids from that. Listen, three colors of hair with her own coming out at the top, so that makes four. I hardly could recognize. I mean, wherever there was a place to stick some stainless steel something in her poor little face, it was in there, made her face look like a fishing lure. Now, if that's okay with you, then you've already lost your kids. I mean, I don't mean to step on your toes, but if you got them in the aisle, I'm going to get on them. Man, fight for your kids. And the first place to fight is open that door, scoot them right in here. Let God have access to your kids. He loves them just as much as you do. Thirdly, growth through feeding. The church is ordained to grow as people, growth through feeding. First, we have access to God. Two, God has access to us. Three, growth through feeding. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. All right, he's speaking to the overseers of the church. Rick, this is to you. This is to me. This is to Modlish. all those he put his hand on to do anything in leadership. I don't care if you're teaching part of Sunday school, children's church, or if you're sweeping out the place. Every piece is important. Every piece is just as important as the other. No one was too small or too great. But this place has to be prepared to do what? Feed the flock. Take heed yourself that you all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. This is what this is, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves, there you are. There you are. There you are. Of your own selves shall men arise, sacked out men shall arise, seeking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. With a Baptist salute. Sacked out. Therefore watch and remember. Tonight, this is titled, Remember the Church. Remember the Church. I wish I could take it home with me. All right, therefore watch and remember that by a space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. So that's what I'm doing. Listen, those that are lost, church members that are lost, that leave us and go to another church, they're lost by heresy. They're lost on heresy. Down in Texas, I wish you could, I wish you had to set and try to counsel some of the folks I visit with. I wish God would condemn you to that. Because I wish you'd just be sitting right there as the soul unseen and listen to what they say and the mess they're in because they've been saved for 20 years and hadn't got enough Bible to fill a thimble. And so their life has no protection, hedging, direction, all the love, all the things that God gives us in the church that he ordained to deal with. Because the church is not feeding them. How important is this church? Remember this church. See? Heresy is where your members are lost. They're lost to Jim Jones in heresy. See? Jim Jones in heresy. The least bit of Bible teaching by Jim Modlish, I'm telling you, if they had all 800 that killed themselves at Jonestown, following that idiot right to death, if they'd have had just 6 weeks of Bible, 1 hour a week from Jim Modlish, they'd have laughed at Jones. What am I saying? Jim Jones can't fool a Bible believer. Right. Now you can say amen. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen myself. Dr. Ruckmussell. Jim Jones can't fool a Bible believer. Now look, I know you're saying that guy's overtaken me. Brother Jim. No, I'm not. As a matter of fact, if you boil it right down, Jim and I are acquaintances, and I guess we're friends, but we're not real buddies. I live 11 hours away. And we've known each other for a very long time, but we don't run together. I don't run with this crowd. I mean, I don't circle in there. I don't even know them. We're acquaintances, and I love the guy. I love Linda a lot more, I'll just tell you that. A little confession is good for the soul. But I'm going to tell you one. It is not Jim. It is the book. And he is the greatest purveyor of it left in America today. And he's your pastor. And you get to put your feet right under his table and just suck it up, boy.
Amen.
Three doctrines. You get these down. And no heresy in America will ever fool you. Number one, the doctrine of salvation. How did it happen? What happened? And how long does it last? Number two, eternal security. Did he lose you? Did he save you? Or did he lose you? Or did he save you to lose you? No. You get that down. Secondly, rightly dividing the word. Who do the tongues, are the tongues for? Well, they're for the Jews. Are they for the church? No, they're not. Get those three doctrines. You can get them down in 2 weeks' time. Hour and a half, 2 hours a day. In 2 weeks' time, you will be an authority on those three doctrines. And no heresy can touch you. Then just continue. You get those three down, you have protection unbelievable.
Because they all go there. They want to mess with your salvation, mess with your eternal security, and try to teach you a doctrine that never was written to you. So those three of them, get them down. Okay. What time is it? Oh, 10 after? I'm doing good. Got all that done 10 minutes. See, I've got a Baptist salute right there. All right, salvation through preaching. We've got access to God. God has access to us. We have growth through feeding. And now, salvation through preaching. I'll quote it for you. God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Okay, your illustration of that is Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. And I'll explain that to you without going there because I'm pressed. Preaching is foolishness. Because there's no way in the world that Jim could know or I could know or anybody that's ever stood in front of you what you're dealing with in your heart. You can't know that. But God knows it. And what God does is He has somebody to stand up here and open that book. And He'll breathe on that book. And some things will come to His mind and He'll start preaching. And in between His mouth and the ear of your heart, God will intercede and speak to your heart with just exactly what you need.
Amen.
And it may not have anything to do with what He just preached. I have seen that thing over and over. You say, I want you to show me that in the Bible. Listen to me. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, it tells you there were 17 nations there. And as Peter stood and preached, in Greek, most probably, not in Hebrew, but in Greek, everybody from 17 nations in their own tongue heard the wonderful words of God. You say, that's an example of speaking in tongues. You are so shallow. It is not trying to teach you to speak in tongues. It's trying to show you the ministry of God Almighty Himself because He loves you. He will intercede. You have 200 people here. Jim does his very best. But while he's preaching, God reveals your heart, and then He begins to go inside there and minister to your needs. Salvation. Folks, I have seen the Holy Spirit of God fall a couple, three times in my preaching career. And so help me, you could have read the back of a Kellogg's cornflake box, and He would have ministered. It's not the preacher. So I'm not overly on Jim Modlish, although I think he's one of the greatest. But I am over the hill on the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
And that's preaching, the foolishness of preaching. All right, so we have salvation through preaching, and also then we have fellowship. Boy, you guys are the best on fellowship I ever saw. I mean, sometimes, there's no way on a Sunday morning I'm going to tell y'all get out of your chairs and go greet somebody and tell them you're glad they're here. I ain't about to do that. You start fellowship and I can't get you back. You won't get back. I can't preach. Man, you're just gone, man. I mean, you just lost control of the whole service. Bunch of visiting folks. I never seen the like, man. I love it, don't you? Well, let me ask you something. How important is that to you? Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go to John chapter 20. And I hope it's still in my Bible. Y'all know what happened to me Sunday morning. I've never had that. I've had it to happen before, but not while I was preaching. I told y'all to turn to where?
Zechariah.
You know what my mind saw? Nehemiah. I kept going way back there until the end of Nehemiah and looked for the verse, and it wasn't there. So I turned back and I read that thing again. It said Zechariah 12:1. That's where I told you to go. My mind went, blip, turned over. Nehemiah went right back there again. And then Nehemiah disappeared and I'm lost now. I said, somebody read it. Has that ever happened to you? Say one thing and your mind grabs something else. All you men do this, will you please? You ladies are telling on you. You just might as well start shaking your head. They're pointing at you. Fellowship. Look with me in verse 19. All right, Jesus has been crucified. It's been told to the disciples that he's risen. And I'll be real honest with you, I don't know that they believed it at all. They recluse, they ran, they hid. And now this is behind closed doors for fear of the Jews because they killed him and they're trying to find them to kill them. You know, it costs something to deliver you the freedom you have to come to this church. Oh, I'd like to go down that road. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Fear is a good motivator. Fear is a good motivator. The doctor said cancer, you'll hit the door. I'm sorry, that's just human nature. At 9/11, churches filled up all over America. But we got sacked out, didn't we? For fear of the Jews, out came Jesus and stood in the midst. I love that, in the midst. He was in the midst. And Jesus said unto them, what is it?
Peace be unto you.
Haven't you ever felt the peace fall on you? Come in here. Man, oh Friday, when you can just leave the work and the kids and the life and the troubles and everything, and all of a sudden, just if it's just for 1 second, that Holy Spirit come in there and everything's just fine. It's just peace. That's God. Remember the church. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad. And when they saw that it was the Lord, you reckon they broke out in fellowship?
Yeah.
Imagine. Can't you imagine? Mm-hmm. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. Boy, they got a double portion of peace. As my Father has sent me, they get a commission. Even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. How important was that? You know that no Old Testament saint was saved like you are. They had the Holy Ghost, had come and go, but they didn't have the indwelling seal Holy Ghost in them. They were never born again. Amen. So they got the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. That this is a dispensational thing. Don't get stuck on it. I'll let Jim handle this. I remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now watch this. Here's where I'm going. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Okay? Oh, doubting Thomas. They told him later, he came. We were all hidden behind closed doors. Poof. There he was. Showed us his hands and his feet. We got the Holy Ghost, man. You know what that is? I'll give it to you. You can get away from me. I don't believe it. Wasn't that right? Doubting Thomas. Jesus had to appear to him the second time and say, here, boy.
Here, thrust in your pocket and pick up that microphone.
Thrust in your hand in my side and see that it is I. And be not unbelieving and faithless. Doubting Thomas. I want to show you some things he missed. Old Thomas missed fellowship with the Lord, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 19. And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, or when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and saith to them, peace be unto you. Boy, you talk about fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were so glad to see him. They were so glad to see him. They had some doubts that all that they had believed, but now they know, as Paul says, I believe it shall be even as it was told to me. I mean, it was, fellowship broke out there. And old Thomas missed that. Look here, he missed also joy and gladness. Look at verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and his disciples were glad. May I ask you something? Have you ever just got overjoyed in here? Hey, dude, I've come close a couple of times to just screaming hallelujah. It gets pretty thick in here sometimes. They miss that joy and that sweet gladness. Guys, don't forget the church. They missed a commission to serve. Look at verse 21. He didn't get this. Then Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, as he had sent me, so send I you. Got commission to serve, a call into the ministry. He missed it. Wasn't there. That's not all. The endowment of power in verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Man, that's power. Now they've got something to run with besides their own self and their own strength. They have the Holy Ghost living in you. When I tried to live it, as Janora lived it before me, I couldn't. I failed every time. Couldn't live it. So finally one night I got saved. I got saved all over, worse than any place else. I mean, I got a dose of it. And I realized it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That will help you live it. You can't live it by yourself. He missed the endowment of power. He missed peace in the time of great need. And there's several others. Strength for the journey. Guys, the older we get, the more strength it takes to keep going. Have you noticed that? Do you know when I was in high school, I represented our school in the 100-yard dash as a little bitty guy, 4 years as a freshman to... I was a rapid little sap sucker. Dude, I can't walk 100 yards today, let alone run one. Takes a lot more to keep going, and we need strength for the journey, encouragement for the journey. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Don't quit. Don't forget the church. Keep going. Strength for the journey. And lastly, comfort in the time of need. Comfort in the time of need. Comfort, time of need. I've seen the church go through pure H-E-double-L. And I've seen God comfort you right through it. I've seen you members have pain and suffering and great loss. And God comforts you right through it. 1 Corinthians 5, or 2 Corinthians 1 says that we may comfort others who are in any trouble with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You can't help anybody else till God comforts you. This is another sermon of mine. I really do have three. I work for a group at the San Antonio Livestock Show and Rodeo. We do cowboy church all three Sundays of the rodeo. They'll put through 3 million people through that place in 3 weeks. It's the last first three Sundays in February. And we will seat 1,000 people or more every service. 10 years ago, there wasn't 40 there. 5 years ago, it was up to about 300. And it has exploded through the leadership and of Jesus Christ. And so we have a band there that plays. And they're quality. They practice. They're professional. They tour. You know, that type of level. And the leader of it is a Christian. His name is Joe Ruppel, personal friend of mine. Joe's had some trouble in his life. He called Jared on. We just hash it out. He loved me. Guy sent me a text about 3 months ago. Hey, have you heard about Joe Ruppel? He died last night.
Oh, no.
59. 11 o'clock at night, taking a shower. He's gone.
Wow.
So his wife called in about 30 minutes behind that text, and she said, J.D., you won't believe it. But last Monday, he and I had one of those good husband and wife, very emotional, heart-to-heart talks. And he said, honey, if anything should happen to me ever, I don't care where he's at, you get J.D. to do my funeral. I said, well, ma'am, I'd be honored. So I went to do his funeral. Boy, I was wrestling with it. I loved him like a brother. Got down there, they had a viewing on Thursday evening. Then they were to have a graveside Friday morning at 10, and then a memorial service at a big cowboy church at 11. Graveside at 9. Okay, I went to the grave with them. Nobody but family. And that was an honor. I love them to death. Just like I would you. Or you would go if I pass away, wouldn't you? Loving this church. So we went to the funeral and God had given me a message. I know he did. And very seldom he does because I struggle with getting this done. Like I told you before, I'm not trained or nothing. I just go do it. And God will either get on it or he won't. I love him and he knows it, so he overlooks some things, I think. I say that so that you'll always know I'm one of you. I'm not one of them. There is separation. And I want to always be one of you. In that funeral, God gave me this. He says, I just came to me. There is one thing that the saved people need right now. That's comfort. We're talking about comfort in a time of need. And boy, they needed it. There were 1,200, 1,500 people there. He was loved for half of South Texas. Great big old church. They put seats everywhere. Then I got this as I kept reading my Bible. There's going to be a lot of loss there. The one thing the saved people needed was comfort. And one thing the lost people never have is comfort. So I preached on the two comforts. Number one, comfort concerning Job. And I quoted all of those sweet and wonderful promises that are in the book to comfort you. Like the rapture verses. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not. See that come in there? That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Then he goes right on to tell you that he's coming back and he's going to get you. You're coming out.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15, this corruptible must put on incorruptible. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O grave, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Don't have victory over a Christian. As we're coming up. That soul ain't in there anyway. Remember Sunday? It's gone. All of those things, you know what? They're quoted at every funeral. You know why? They never wear out. And they comfort us because we need comfort in a time. A church does that. A church does that. But then I said this, comfort concerning ourselves. Comfort concerning Joe. He's in a better place, family. And you'll see him again. It's all right with Joe. He wouldn't come back. Comfort. Now, comfort concerning us. And I said this to them. There couldn't be a more vivid illustration or dramatic confrontation with reality. A casket. And then I said, one day, your day. Payday, someday. One day, the sun will rise on your last day. One day, be your time. Do you have any comfort about that at all?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying to them, to the lost? You know what God is saying to them? No. One day, your lips will be forever silent and your chest will be forever still. I wish we didn't have to do that, but we do. You got any comfort in that? We do, don't we? They don't. And then God gave me this. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And I quoted the great white throne judgment. Those are mostly lost there. The dead, small and great, stand before God at that judgment. I'm looking for comfort. They don't have any. Do you know what comfort is? It's a matter of trust. Sure it is. Sure it is. You can't be comfortable with somebody unless you trust them. You know why they don't have any comfort? They have never trusted Jesus Christ. And I challenged them to put all the jargon aside. This time, Joe had written me an email, and I read it to him. He just built a brand new horse trough, and he's got to look at it, and he says, it looks like a baptistry. You know what he did? He put heating elements in it. And he sent me a text. And he said, Dunson, you got to see this. I can just see you in there dunking somebody. We're going to have a baptismal service out here, you know. And I remember I texted him back and said, yeah, and you're first, buddy. Get in. And I read that to him. And I said, I know the family. And I know Joe. You know what Joe wants? He wants you to get saved. He wants you to get saved now. Now. Because you don't have any. You need comfort now. Will you take comfort in Jesus Christ and trust Him now? Got everybody to bow their heads. And I told the Christians to pray for them. That family over there was praying out loud for them. Man, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God, whoo, just blew in that place. 19 hands went up. 19 souls were saved. Now, a little bit later, it's going to be a little cool, but we got a heating element, right? There's 10 of those people on the list to be baptized in Joe's trough. Now, comfort in the time of need. That's what a church does. It gives you access to Jesus Christ. You get saved, and the rest of your life is set. My dear friends, never, please, never get sacked out about HCBC, because it is not a common church.